Hello, I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, welcome you to this week's podcast. We hope that our service will be a blessing to you and your family.
It's time to get into the Word of God. If you have your Bible, we're going to read one verse, hallelujah. That's going to be in Luke chapter number 1, verse 37. That's Luke chapter number 1, verse 37. And then we're going to spend our time in John 11. That's St. John 11. But together, we're going to read Luke chapter number 1, verse number 37. Once you've found the verse, if you would be kind enough to stand up on your feet. If you're out there in cyberland, hallelujah, find the scripture that you might be on one accord with us. We thank God for that. See, we never know how the Holy Ghost is going to move on any particular Sunday. And I thank God, hallelujah, that those of you, you know how, it's kind of like a surfer, hallelujah. When you see that wave coming, you got to go run. You ever see a surfer? A surfer will run from the sandy beach and the shore and run out there to catch that wave. Hallelujah. We don't control God. What we do is we praise God. We worship God. And when he comes into the building, hallelujah, we run after him. That's what we do. And just like that surfer running after that wave, they get on their board and they just flow with it. And that's what we do. We flow in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we have an agenda, but we don't have to follow any agenda to the T. Hallelujah. Because if we follow the agenda to the T, you just might miss God. Hallelujah. We don't want to miss God. We came here for God. Praise God. Lift your Bible over your head. Repeat after me if you can. And if you like, say, this is my Bible. This is God's word unto me. All that it says I am, I am. All that it says I possess, I possess. I thank you, Lord, for your written word. I thank you, Lord. I didn't make up this word, but I believe your word. For you declared in your word that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Remain standing. We got one verse to read today. Hallelujah. That's Luke chapter number 1, verse 37. Let's read it on the count of three. One, two, three. Let us read. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's say it again. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For the Holy Ghost, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may be seated in this place. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We adore you, Lord. Father God, I pray, oh Father God, that you would use me as a vessel of honor, that I might be able to orate the word of God, Lord, that somebody, oh Father God, might be healed. Somebody might be set free. Somebody might be delivered. Somebody might be encouraged. Somebody, Father God, might say, I yield unto you, Lord, whether it be in this building or it be out there on cyberland or it be, Father God, somebody who looks at this particular submission a little later on. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the technology. We ask, Lord, that you would touch it, oh Lord, that it would do everything, oh Lord, that you ordained for it to do on this day, this time, and this hour. And Father God, we pray, oh Lord, that you would rebuke the fowler, the devil, that adversary, the accuser of the brother. Rebuke him, that old serpent, that dragon. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus, that your word might rest, rule, and abide in this place. We thank you, we honor you, and we adore you. Through Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good morning to each and every one of you. We're going to continue our series in spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. This is the installment number, I believe, 14. Hallelujah. And today we're going to talk from the subject of great faith. Great faith. Hallelujah. Great faith. I'm talking about the faith that can move mountains. I'm talking about the type of faith when you can't see your way. Hallelujah. You already know in your heart that God has made a way. I'm talking about the type of faith when you think that your very life is on the line, that you know that God's going to rescue you. I'm talking about the type of faith that when the enemy is all around you, hallelujah, and coming in to pillage you, coming in to destroy you, you know your God is going to rescue you. Is there anybody with that type of faith? Is there anybody that's mature mature enough to know that God has brought you through so many ups and downs, so many hills and valleys, so many crazy things. Mm-hmm. He's brought you through so much that you know what it means to have great faith. And so that's what we're going to talk about today through the lens of the Word of God, because I'm a wholesale believer in the fact that there's nothing too hard for God. I'm a wholesale believer that nothing's impossible to them that believe. And so all you have to do is believe. I want to start off with a little story, hallelujah, and then we'll get into the Word of God. I ran into one of my buddies, hallelujah. We were on the Christian trail years and years ago, and the second church I ever was in my entire life, hallelujah, when I was around the age of 26, hallelujah. And so I ran into my buddy. We were at Cracker Barrel, and he was coming in, and I was coming in. We were going to get, you know, you go to the counter to go get takeout food. We weren't going to eat in, and I saw him and his wife, and we embraced, hugged, and everything, and it was good to see him. And I asked him about his brother, hallelujah, because his brother used to play ball with us all the time, hallelujah, and he was an avid part of the church. And he told me that he had received a phone call that his brother had passed away. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, he's a young man. He's a good guy. I'm like, wow, that really hard. That hurts my heart. And so he said that they had called from the hospital. One of the family members called from the hospital and told him that his brother had passed away. And they said that the body was then shipped down to the morgue and within the Cleveland Clinic. I guess Cleveland Clinic has a morgue section. So they shipped it down there, and they needed somebody from the family to go ahead and sign off on the body. And so he went down to Cleveland Clinic to sign off on the body. And when he got down there and he went into the morgue and he talked with the doctor who was there, he asked the doctor if he could just have just a couple of minutes with his brother. Hallelujah. And so the doctor did that. And, you know, that's his brother. And he went before his brother and he said he laid hands on his brother and he asked the Lord, hallelujah, that the Lord would revive his brother. Now, they're in the morgue. I'm not talking about when he's pronounced dead in the room. I'm talking about in the morgue. They had already moved the body, and he'd already been pronounced. And he asked the Lord to revive him. His brother started to cough, and his brother's revived. He's walking around, walking and talking now. So you can't tell me that my God can't, because he can. And that's why today we want to talk about great faith. Jesus said, if you have but the faith of the size of a mustard seed, hallelujah, you can speak to the mountain. You can say, mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it can be done. The problem is, too oftentimes, we don't believe enough. We got some faith, but some of us don't have saving faith. We have some faith, but some of us don't have overcoming faith. I'm talking about the type of faith that when everything looks bleak and dark, you can still have that still confidence in knowing that God still got your back. Hallelujah! So imagine that particular story. Hallelujah. And he goes to a church right in Oakwood. He went back and told the story at his church. And do you know, one of the deacons said, what? Are you a witch doctor now? Can you believe that? Because there's always a hater in the house. Even those in the household of God. Not praise God. Not hallelujah. Not thank you, Jesus. But are you a witch doctor? Too often, we so quick to embalm somebody that we don't even think of the possibility that it ain't over yet. Now, all of us are going to die. We know this. But sometimes God says, not yet. Can God find faith on this earth? That type of faith. See, the problem is we believe that Jesus did the miracles back then. But some of you right now don't believe that he can do them even right now. I know he can. Do you know he can? Hallelujah. He can do it. Great faith. Let's get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. So it's only fitting that we go to a section of scripture that you probably are acquainted with. Let's go to John chapter number 11. We're going to talk about the story of Lazarus. Hallelujah. Most of you know the story. That's good. But maybe there's something that needs to be reinforced Maybe there's something that you need to be reminded of, and maybe you learned something that perhaps you didn't know before. Let's get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. In the book of St. John, chapter number 11, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus." Hallelujah. And how many of you understand the fact that the Hebrew word for Lazarus, the Bible actually denotes that this particular name means God has helped. So his name means, remember, that God has helped. Do a word study. You'll find that out. The Bible says a certain man, he was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, of town of Mary and her sister Martha. And so we're talking about a family, hallelujah, of two sisters and a brother, hallelujah, that are identified here within the word. We're talking about Mary, Martha, and we're talking about Lazarus. And now we understand that Lazarus is sick, hallelujah. We don't know what type of disease he had, but we just know that he was sick. The Bible said it was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet, hallelujah, with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so we find out what family this is. Some of you know the story of how, hallelujah, at the particular event that Jesus was at, that a young lady came, hallelujah, and fell down upon his feet and began to put some spikenard oil, hallelujah, very expensive oil. We call that the alabaster box, right? And what she did was she was anointing him, hallelujah. Unbeknownst to her, she was anointing him for his burial, hallelujah. But she anointed him and wiped all of her tears, hallelujah, with her hair on his feet. That's the one we're talking about. The Bible says in verse 3, "Therefore his sisters sent out to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." So we need to paint a backdrop here, hallelujah. We have this family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We know that Lazarus is sick, hallelujah. They were good friends of Jesus. They had an active relationship with Jesus. And so Lazarus was very sick. And so what the sisters decided to do was to send word unto Jesus. I want to be interactive in this particular message. How many of you know when we get sick, oftentimes it's good to call on the Lord? Why? Because we know that the Lord is what? He's a healer. We know that the Lord, he's Jehovah Jireh. He will provide for us, but he is Jehovah Rapha. That means that he is a healer. We know that Jesus himself was wounded for all of our transgressions, that he was bruised for all of our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon Christ Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. So they do what they were doing, what we would do now, which is if somebody is gravely ill or sick, we would call Jesus, because you call the one that you know can help you in your time of need. Everybody good there? And so they're calling upon Christ Jesus. And we know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says here, he who lovest, thou lovest, he's sick. The Bible says when Jesus heard that, he said, hallelujah, "This sickness is not unto death." Hallelujah. I'll repeat it. "This sickness is not unto death." What does that mean? Remember, they sent a representation of the family over to Jesus, hallelujah, to tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus comes back and says, hallelujah, that the sickness that Lazarus has is not unto death, hallelujah, meaning that he's going to recover. Is everybody on the same page with me? So the word out there then was that Jesus gave a word that he was going to recover. How many of you know that when God gives you a word, a positive word for your situation, how many of you know that can cause your faith to increase? It can cause you to feel better about your situation, right? Because God gave a word. And understand the fact that Jesus was not in the same locality as Lazarus. But how many of you know that when God sends his word, everything's going to be all right? The centurion said it best. He said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." That means that Jesus did not even need to be, hallelujah, in the very room of the servant, and the servant could gain healing. Why? Because his word, when it goes out, it does not return void, but it shall accomplish everything that God sent it out and purposed purposed it to do. The Bible says this sickness is not unto death. He said, before the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What God is saying through Christ Jesus is, this is all about his glory. It's all about God receiving all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And so what God reserves, he reserves the right to show up when he wants to show up, that he might receive all praise, honor, and glory. Come on now. And so the Bible continues, and the Bible says this. The Bible says in verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So we see here that Jesus has a lot of love for the family. Hallelujah. He said, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Hallelujah. Now, wait a minute now. We have kind of a situation here, because we know that the representation came to tell Jesus as far as the condition of Lazarus. We know that Jesus said and told the representation that, wait a minute, the sickness is not unto death. Hallelujah. But we see here a lack of urgency on the part of Jesus in order to go unto the family. I want to ask somebody, how does it feel when you call somebody and it's urgent, but they don't readily come? How does it feel if you call on God, hallelujah, and God gives you a word, but there's a time delay in when you gave the word and when the word manifests itself unto a miracle in your life? Oh, come on now. How many of you understand the fact that God said not only was this particular sickness not unto death, but God was going to get some glory? And so God is going to get some glory because he had Jesus fall back. He had Jesus remain just where he is. How many of you know that's the kind of God we serve? There can be a storm going on and Jesus can be in the back of the ship sleep. Why? Because a storm don't move Jesus, because the Lord knows he can say hallelujah. He can say peace be still and the storm has to stop. Hallelujah. Jesus is not rattled. Jesus is not nervous. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he abode in the same place for 2 days. Now some people might just have an issue, hallelujah, when you call somebody and they don't come immediately. Somebody might get offended when you call somebody in an urgent matter and they don't call you back. Somebody just might feel a certain type of way when they have a request that they know is important to them. It is of extreme importance, but they don't feel as though you're taking the same amount of type of zeal in your presentation of helping them. But the Bible says here, hallelujah, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. So we know that he's in Bethany and we're talking about Lazarus. And if you looked at a map, hallelujah, that's all in the region of Judea. And Bethany is not too far from Jerusalem. And so the Bible says, he said, let's go into Judea again. After that 2 day wait, he said, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And saying, wait a minute, now there's a problem with us going back into that region, because we know that there's some haters in the house. We know that the Jews are trying to kill you. How many of you know, anytime you try to do the works of God, oftentimes there's some opposition. Can I talk to somebody? Yeah. Oftentimes there's some things, there's an impediment. There's an obstacle. There's something that's going to try to stop you from going forward to do the works of God. Hallelujah. That's what happens. Because the enemy is all around. We know that the enemy is the what? He's the prince of the power of the air. And I tell you, when you put your hands to the plow, the enemy's coming after you. If he can't come after you, he'll come after your marriage. If he can't come after your marriage, he'll come after your children. If he can't come after your children, he'll come after your job. If he can't come after your job, he'll come across with mama and daddy, extended family members. Oh, if he can't get none of them, he'll rise up through your neighbor. Oh my God, that's what the enemy will do. He'll use any crack, any crevice, hallelujah, anything he can to try to disrupt, hallelujah, what the man of God or the woman of God or the boy or girl of God will try to do for God. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody or any situation or any person stop you from doing God's will. So Jesus said, we're going to Judea. But the disciples are the one that are reminding him that your very life is in danger. But I remember somewhere in the Bible, thank you, Holy Ghost, that the Lord said emphatically, he said, don't fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can put both body and soul into hell. And the only one I know that qualifies that can do that is the Father. But I know he's not doing that to Jesus, because Jesus only did and said what the Father told him to do. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says here, my God, he said here, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Catch that. He says, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Uh-huh. So what is he talking about? There's something about daytime that he's using as a metaphor for us to understand that we can work while it's daytime, because at nighttime, no man can work. How many of you know that while the light is in you on this side, you're able to do the mighty works for God? And he said, during the daytime, you won't stumble because you can see. Let's talk about it spiritually. Don't you know that for a person who's a good man's steps have been ordered by the Lord? We know that his word, when he's ordering his steps, he's walking according to the word, because he is the word. Then we follow behind him walking in the word. But the word is what? It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So when we follow the word, we're walking in the light. And when we're in the light, people around us can see the light. And when they can see the light, they can give God praise in heaven. So what he's saying here is, I'm in the light. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. He doesn't have to worry about any type of person that would try to capture him and kill him, because they can't do nothing to Christ until it's his time. Don't you know nobody can do anything to you if you're in Christ until it's your time? Until it's your time, they can try. Yes, sir, yeah, they can try. They can try to muster up the strength, but I know that no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. I feel preachy today. The Bible says here, hallelujah, he said, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. When no light is in you, you're full of darkness. When you're full of darkness, you're not following after the Lord. When you're not following after the Lord, you're subject to anything the devil wants to do. Uh-huh. As long as that devil gets permission from God. Come on, can I talk to somebody who's been in darkness? And in darkness, it's hard to see your way. Uh-huh. In darkness, you oftentimes stumble. In darkness, that's when you'll stub your toe. In darkness, that's when you can hit your head. It's in the dark times of our life, uh-huh, that we can't accurately do those things we need to do. But somebody said, praise be to God who allowed me to walk in the light. Woo. And so we see here now that Jesus gives a retort for why he's going to continue to go forward. He said, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Hallelujah. Now initially he told the representation that Lazarus, hallelujah, that the sickness he has was not unto death. But now he further qualifies. He says Lazarus is simply asleep. The Bible says, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Hallelujah. And so we know one thing, and we've preached about this before. We know that the disciples of Christ, we know that oftentimes they walked in the natural. We know that oftentimes they were sight driven. We know that oftentimes they did not understand what Jesus would say, because Jesus is Lord and God is a spirit. Hallelujah. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means in order for us as a natural man to be able to relate to God, we have to have his spirit. If we don't have his spirit, the things that God tells us will be foolishness unto us. The things that he tells us, we will not be able to understand, because spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. Everybody got that? And so the disciples, when he said that Lazarus was asleep, they were thinking about regular sleep. The Bible said, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Why are they saying that? They're saying that because they know by going back into that region, they would be entering into a dangerous, hallelujah, a very dangerous patch of territory. And so they're saying, Lord, we don't need to go there. And now since you also said, Lord Jesus, that he's only asleep, hallelujah, if he's sleeping, he's going to be all right. We don't have to go see him. We don't have to go through danger. How many of you know that most of us love to travel down a path of least resistance? I feel God in here. We don't like to go through tough things, do we? No, we don't. We want to go through that path that's easy. We want to go through that path, hallelujah, that doesn't cause any ripples, any pain. We want to go through that path where we don't suffer any resistance. We love to go down the path where we don't have any type of temptation, where we don't have any type of trepidation, when we don't have any type of thing that would try to stop us, hallelujah, from doing what we want to do. But the Bible says here, hallelujah, he says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Hallelujah. He's saying that Lazarus is dead. My goodness, my goodness. Now, wait a minute. We don't hear of another report coming from the individuals or representation coming from the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that his downturned, hallelujah, or his condition downturned from sickness unto death. But how many of you know that the Lord, the Father, he sits high and he looks low and he has an excellent rapport with his son. And so we see that Jesus knows that Lazarus is dead. Hallelujah. Even though man didn't give him the information. How many of you know that man doesn't have to give you the information? You can get the information directly from God. Can I talk to somebody who's connected to God and knows that God can talk to you and he can tell you some things without somebody else telling you? We call that a word of knowledge. When God spiritually has the gift of the Holy Ghost, where he can get a word of knowledge, where that word of knowledge can tell him what's currently going on. The Bible says here, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So he's saying, I'm glad that it's working out this way. Why? Because this is all about a testing of your faith. This is all about your faith being increased. This is all about you getting to know God in a different manner. This is all about you leveling up. Hallelujah. Because if Christ would have been there, guess what? Lazarus probably wouldn't have died, because he could have healed him from the sickness just by the faith of Mary and Martha saying, lay hands on my brother, because we know he shall recover. But God didn't do it that way. How many of you know that God can do things his way? It's not about our way. He can do things just the way he wants to. Jesus said, let's proceed to go. Hallelujah. Because remember, Jesus said that he's just asleep and his job was to go and wake him up. The Bible says, then said Thomas, check this out. He said, which is called Didymus. We know Thomas. We know him as being doubting Thomas, right? What did he say? He said, unto this fellow disciples. What did he tell his disciples? He said, let us also go that we may die with him. Ain't that about nothing? He thinks that they're going to their deathbed. Ain't that about nothing? He thinks that the Jews are going to take all of them and kill all of them. When he says with them, I believe he's talking about Jesus. He thought that by going, hallelujah, to Lazarus's house, that they were going in imminent danger and they would be killed. He's a doubter, isn't he? You got to know that even in church, you got some folks of various different levels of faith. Some people would believe so long as they can see the manifestation. But hallelujah. But other folks can believe without seeing. Doubting Thomas is showing his colors right here at an early stage in his discipleship, because he thought that he was going to die. Hallelujah. And so what does he do? He talks to the other people. Ain't that about nothing? If you don't have enough faith, keep it to yourself. I want to surround myself around some folks that's ready to go higher. I want to surround myself around somebody that's ready to step out in faith. Who do you want around you if you're not doing well? Do you want somebody to think, oh, you're just going to die? Or do you want somebody to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm believing that God's will shall be done, and I believe that his will, hallelujah, on this occasion is for you to be raised up. I know God allows some to die. I know God raises some up. But until we know which way it's going to go, we're going to pray for life and life more abundantly. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. I'm not a name it or claim it, God. But I do believe that God can do all things but fail. I do believe that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I do believe that God is everything. I do believe that he's God all by himself. There's nobody beside him. I do believe that God created light. He created darkness. He created the smith to blow against the cold. I do believe that God is in full control. He's omniscient. He sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both evil and good. I do believe that he's omnipresent. He's at all places at all times. I do believe that he's omnipotent. He got all power in his hand, and that power he has, he's given it to the saints. I do believe that God can do it. Hallelujah. He'll bring you to it, but he'll bring you through it. Is there anybody out there, either in the building, hallelujah, or on Cyberland, that knows that God is able? He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above those things we can ask or think. God can do it. So let's just wait and see through faith what he's going to do. But all you got to have is just a little bit of faith. You got to have some faith. So Didymus is still, he's still a doubter. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. He's in the grave 4 days. We know that Jesus hung back 2 days, but he's been in the grave 4 days. Alive but sick when the word came to Jesus. Dead in the grave by the time Jesus arrives. I want to ask somebody, how does it feel when the situation goes from bad to worse and the God you're calling upon doesn't appear to have stepped in on time to remedy your situation? You called him because you needed him. But what happens if he don't show up on your time? The Bible says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem. That means near. About 15 furlongs off. I think that's a couple of miles. The Bible says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brothers. So people are doing what they're supposed to do, and that they're gathering around to bring comfort to the family. The Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. So Martha goes out and approaches, but Mary falls back and stays in the house. The Bible said, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. She realizes the fact that God is able. She realizes the fact that if Christ would have been on scene, the downturn of sickness turning into death would not have happened. But remember, he said initially that the sickness was not unto death. So that might throw somebody. But he also said it's all about the Father and the Son being glorified. And so she approaches Christ in faith. The Bible says here, hallelujah, but I know, she said, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So she has good level of faith. She said, Jesus, if you would have been there, everything would have been all right. And even though you're showing up right now, I'm confident of this one thing. That whatever you ask the Father, he's going to give you. Now that's faith, isn't it? Let's check it out. Hallelujah. The Bible says here, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He's going to raise to life again. He initially said that the sickness was not unto death. But some people don't understand that death means separation. Is he talking about physical death, or is he talking about spiritual death? Hallelujah. But now he says, hallelujah, he's going to rise again. He's going to be all right. I want to talk to somebody who God gave you a word and he told you that it was going to be all right. God gave you a word and he told you he wasn't going to leave you by yourself. He won't leave you nor forsake you. I want to talk to somebody right now. You're holding on to God's word. I want to talk to somebody else. You're holding on to God's promise. I want to talk to somebody else. Hallelujah. You were praying and anguishing and crying before the Lord and he sent you to a particular patch of scripture and you've adopted that scripture. You've held on to that scripture. You've stood on that scripture, and the scripture that you read said that everything's going to be all right. Christ said that you're going to rise again. He said, Martha saith unto him, I know, check this, that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She had the faith to believe that the resurrection would happen, but she didn't believe the resurrection would happen right now. I want to talk to somebody. You understand some of the things that God has said, but you don't understand everything. How many of you know all of us are looking through a glass darkly? Hallelujah. But when we see him, we'll be like him. She understands the resurrection at the last day. But what she doesn't understand is who is standing before her. Hallelujah. I want to give somebody a deeper revelation of who Christ is. The Bible says, hallelujah, Jesus said unto her, and we quote it all the time, he said, I am the resurrection that's going to happen at the last day. He said, I'm the one. I am the resurrection. I can do what needs to be done right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to tarry. I can do it. He said, I'm the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He said, and the life. He that believeth in me. If you got enough faith and believe, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What do you mean, though he were dead? In the natural, if you believe in Christ, when you die, he will resurrect you if you're a believer in Christ. So he's talking about the natural. But then he says, hallelujah. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, wait a minute. He said you died before, but you never die? You never die spiritually. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. This body will die. But the Bible says, thank you, Holy Ghost, in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth shall die. We're going to all die, right? We're going to die. There's going to be a separation of this body and soul and spirit. We believe as Christians in our articles of faith that when you die, hallelujah, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Meaning your soul and spirit goes back to the one who gave it, which is God, waiting for that day of redemption. Hallelujah. When soul and spirit will be united, hallelujah, to the new body, the body that's incorruptible, the body that's not subject to be destroyed. Anybody with me? Hallelujah. So he said, I am the resurrection, I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But he said, that's fine, but do you believe it? Believest thou this? You got to believe it, church. You got to believe that Jesus is the resurrection. You got to believe not only that he hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross, but you have to believe that he's your personal resurrection. That the same spirit that was in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is in you. And at the last day, you'll get raised up just like Jesus got raised up. He was the first fruits of those who would be raised from the dead to never be subjected to death again. But do you believe it? Do you believe he's your resurrection? Do you believe that anything dead, Christ can raise up? Do you believe? Do you have the faith to believe? Even though something doesn't look like it's in your favor, God can do a turnaround. Do you believe no matter what dark, deep hole you fall in, God can rescue you? Do you believe although your sins are like scarlet, he can wash you and make you white as snow? Do you believe that God can do the very impossible? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? She saith unto him, this is important. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Sounds familiar. Sounds just like what Peter said. Who do men say I am? Yeah, you're one of the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Well, who do you disciples say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, well done, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And so we see here that Martha's on the right track. She knows who he is. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and did what? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Understand, she left, she got what she needed. I want to talk to somebody. The initial word is that, your brother, his sickness is not unto death. But now she understands that your brother, he shall arise. She believes what Christ said. You got to keep this, y'all, for later. She believes and she goes away. Because guess what? When God gives you a word that satisfies your situation, hallelujah, you can run on and tell somebody, I feel God in here. She was good. Martha was good. Let's work on Mary. The Bible says, hallelujah, in verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Hallelujah. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and she came unto him. So now we got Mary and her encounter with Christ. She said, now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. Note Jesus, he waited for 2 days, then began to come. Body was 4 days in the grave. He still ain't came all the way to town. Martha came to meet him when she heard he was in the vicinity. After she left, he didn't move. He said, go get your sister. He don't come to the sister comes to him. You better understand God. God loves it when he calls. And we beckon his call and we come. Oh, y'all better understand this message. Hallelujah. The Bible says here, she arose quickly and came. Now, Jesus was not yet coming to town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house. So the Jews are there, hallelujah, and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. So wait a minute, that's a natural response. They're thinking that now she's going into the grave. Why? Because we know when Martha gave the word was given secretly. Hallelujah. How many of you know that sometimes, hallelujah, the word that comes to you to go to God, everybody doesn't know about, but how many of you know she didn't have to tell all the people around her where she was going? Because sometimes, even though you got folks comforting you, when God gives you a detail that you need to come to him, you don't need everybody all in your business like that. You just come and do what God told you to do, even though people were giving you comfort. Am I talking to somebody in the midst of a storm? How many of you know when you're listening to God, sometimes it's not your job to apprise everybody else of what God is telling you to do, but sometimes you just got to hightail it and get to God, because God is your remedy. God is your supply. God is the antidote. God got all the answers. God is the solution. So Mary rose up hastily, went out. Hallelujah. Followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. A position of what? Worship. So she worships him by going down and going to his feet. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, hallelujah. Hold up. Mary falls down at his feet. We heard that before. When she had that alabaster box of oil, she fell down at his feet. I want to talk to somebody that you don't seem to think it's odd to be in a position of worship before God, because you know that God has done things for you that nobody else could do for you. And so now Mary gets back in a familiar position, which is worshiping Jesus. Don't you be ashamed, But we know she wasn't ashamed before, right? Because she did something that nobody else I heard in scripture did, which was to fall at his feet and cry upon his feet and wipe those tears with her hair. Hallelujah. When you're in Christ Jesus, church, you got to be like Paul, who is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew first and then to the Greek. Hallelujah. The Bible says, then when Mary was come, where Jesus was in verse 32 and saw him, she fell down on his feet saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. Her and her sister, the exact same words. They were on one accord. They both believed that if Christ was there, that Lazarus would still be alive. But the difference in sisters right now is the fact that Martha had an additional word from God with regards to the condition of Lazarus. Let's see how Jesus responds. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, they followed her. They thought she was going to the tomb, but she was going to Jesus. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Huh? And said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? You always got a little hint of haterism in the house. So what does that mean? Martha got the oration that Jesus was the resurrection. Mary got the humanness in Christ. They both came from the same posture, which was that Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead. One leaves away from Christ with a spiritual word that's utilized to anchor her in the faith to believe that everything's going to be all right. And another one, which is Mary, she doesn't get a spiritual word. She gets a natural reaction of somebody who's sharing in the grief of somebody who's going through troubles. Even though Jesus knows the outcome, when he sees the real tears and the anguish of the family, the Bible says he wept. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that can feel our pain? Aren't you glad that we serve a God that understands our plight? Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is tempted in all ways, but yet without sin? He can identify with us. Death can be a lonely thing, where if somebody doesn't have somebody in their family in the same position who's going on, how many of you know it can be difficult to deal with? But our Lord, he deals with it in word, and he deals in it with deed. And his deeds are, is that now he's weeping. And those who saw him weep know how much he loved the family. But someone else says, he the one that opened the eyes of the blind. Why haven't he, couldn't he cause that even this man should not have died? Ain't there all, don't you see in the Bible, there's always somebody, Deacon Lytle, always somebody who's going to rub in a different direction. We got to go. The Bible says here, hallelujah, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. The stone represents what? The thing that closes in, hallelujah, where you're at and where you're going. Some of us need to remove the stone, because the stone is blocking you from walking in your blessing. Somebody's still hurting about their past. My question to you is, how long will your past stop you from moving forward? How long will that hurt and pain prohibit you from walking out in faith? How long? Some of us been stuck since childhood, abused, lied on, cheated on, forsaken, left, and you're stuck. You can't find your way because there's still a stone that's in your path representing the blockage between death and life. Oh, I want somebody to understand that. Some of us won't forgive ourselves. And because you won't forgive yourself, there's a stone prohibiting you from going forward. Hallelujah. You'll get it in a minute. The Bible said, he said, take away the stone. Notice this. Sounds like a precursor to even Jesus' resurrection. Remember there was a stone, hallelujah, in front of the tomb. And the angel came down and there was an earthquake, a boom, and the stone got blown away. God took away the stone. But check this. God didn't take away the stone this time. He said, you guys remove the stone. There's some things that we even have to do if we want victory. Okay. Okay. See, somebody don't like that. Somebody thinks God, yeah, when God uses you, it's still God doing the works. So don't get me wrong. But there's some things that we have to do. Some of us are waiting on God, and he's already given you instruction that you have not followed, and that's why you're in the same condition today that you were before. I'll say it again, but in a different way. Some of us have not realized breakthrough because God has given the word, and we haven't removed the thing that can cause us liberty. God told you to cut off this relationship. God told you to leave the job you were in and go to the other job he opened up for you. God told you to move from one city to another city. But you've not removed the stone. And without the removal of the stone, the miracle's not going to happen. Oh, okay. Can we get deeper? Holy Ghost laid this on my heart. Some of you are harboring people in your house right now that God said, let them go. And it might even be a son or a daughter. And God said they got to learn, especially them boys, they got to learn how to fly. Oh, okay. But mama, the umbilical cord is still in place. Cut the cord that he might fly. Don't be afraid. If God tells you that, you got to do it. Oh, okay, okay. Okay. I know it's rough stuff. It's rough stuff. The umbilical cord is real. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we're crutches. And if a person always has a crutch, how can they ever learn to walk again? Okay. That's for somebody else. Where am I at? Hallelujah. The Bible says here, hallelujah, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he have been dead 4 days. Wait a minute, Martha, you were given the word that, wait a minute, Jesus told you your brother shall rise again. But now she's saying, wait a minute, it's already been 4 days. The body is deteriorating. It's beginning to stink. I want to talk to somebody. You had the faith. But then when you looked at the situation, your faith changed. Oh, you need a witness? Holy Ghost dropped it on me. Peter was okay so long as he was looking at Christ when he was walking on that water. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But the minute he felt the wind and saw the waves and took his eyes off Christ, he began to sink. His faith began to waver. Can I get somebody to give God some praise to say, wait a minute, I see you, God. Martha had great faith, but great faith has to be maintained. Looking at the situation caused her to doubt. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how great your faith is. Your faith is great when it's been tested. Her faith was tested because she, in her mind, did the reconciliation that he has been dead too long. I want to talk to somebody right now. You got a situation in your life that hasn't moved, and you believe because of the length of time that you've been in this particular situation, you don't believe that even God can do anything about it. You believed before and you shouted about it when God gave you the word. But when you look around and you see how grave the situation looks, you now start to doubt what God has said. Some of you will forget what God has said. But I'm so glad that when we forget what God told us, he can always tell us again. Oh, come on now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. What do you think happened to Jonah? Same word God gave him to go preach to the Ninevites. He goes through the storm. He gets thrown overboard. He lands in the belly of the great fish. After 3 days and three nights, the fish vomits him out into dry land. What did God tell him? The same thing he told him initially. Go and preach to the Ninevites. Because sometimes we got to hear the word more than once. I'm talking to somebody in Facebook, somebody out there on YouTube, somebody listening to the podcast. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God that as long as you have breath in your body, God can tell you yet again what you need to hear for your faith to increase. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you don't hear the word of God, and you know what? In the time span of her hearing the word of God, that represents faith. Thank you, Holy Ghost. How does she go into doubt? Faith comes by hearing God's word. She went in doubt, I believe, because she was hearing her own words out of her. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Out of her mind. Because she's looking at reality through the lens of natural eyes. Because the Bible said we shall walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. You got to keep your faith strong, even though the area looks dark. Keep your faith strong, even though it seems impossible. Keep your faith strong. God can do it. I just came through a situation, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is rough. It's messed up. I don't know if I could come out. I know you're able, God. And God gave me a song, and I'm riding in the car with the song, and I'm listening to the song. I Still Rise by Yolanda Adams. And I said, Lord, don't matter what happened, I'm going to be all right because I'm still going to rise. And church, I want to tell you, when you get it in your spirit that no matter how he blesses you, you're going to be satisfied. When you get in your spirit that don't matter what happens, you're going to still praise him. How many of you know that God hears those prayers? I listened to the song over and over because God told me to do that. I got to my destination. And I got a phone call from the one I was cut off from. Y'all can't tell me that God won't do it. Everybody wrote off the relationship. But when man writes something off, you make sure you don't subscribe to that. Because God has the last word on anything that transpires in your life. And now that I think about it, thank you, Holy Ghost, it ain't the first time. First time we got pregnant, told everybody, Sister Lighter, celebrating, we're pregnant. Hallelujah. Went to go get the ultrasound, no heartbeat. When the lady went to do the ultrasound, a quarter had fell out of my pocket. I can't make this stuff up. Said it was no heartbeat. But initially she looked, then she went and grabbed the doctor before she said anything. Grabbed the other doctor, said no heartbeat. You should have seen my wife's face and my face. First time being pregnant. Bad news and all. I pick up the coin. God had me look at the coin. And God. We trump. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying? And that gave me a little bit of hope. We went home. At the time we lived, when we first got married, in a bungalow in Maple Heights. Our bedroom was on the top floor. It was hot up there. Ooh. Y'all don't know about that. Somebody that live in a bungalow, tell me about that, that living upstairs. I ain't talking about, I mean upstairs. Went up there, we were crying out to God, but we were praising God. And you might think it's crazy, but we praise God. And God let us know everything is going to be all right after the DNC and after the appropriate of time. God impregnated us again. Wasn't scared. And after that, we had three babies. You can't tell me what God can't do. Some people stop trying. Some people go away with a permanent scar. We called the little baby Emmanuel. God with us. Oh, y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. We got to go. The Bible says here, my God, my God. Let's go to verse number 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? She needed to hear the word again. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. He knew he was on line with the Father, but he wanted the other people to hear what he was saying, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus hath spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He spoke the word. He didn't go inside the tomb. He didn't lay hands on him. Elijah healed the little boy by laying on top of him. Elisha healed the boy by laying on top of him. None of that. Jairus' daughter, he said, Talitha, Talitha. He said, young woman, rise up. Hallelujah. And she got up. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He was dead, but he said, come forth, because he's able to speak to the soul and the spirit of a man, because that's what the word of God does. It goes down to the very marrow of the bone of a man. And soul, spirit, and body would now be reunited, and it feels so good. Oh, y'all don't know nothing about that. The Bible says here, I don't plan this stuff, it comes in my head. He says, when he spoke it, hallelujah, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Grave clothes representing where he came from. The Bible said, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. So he comes out, because remember, the grave clothes were bound tight like a mummy. So he's coming out, and he said, somebody loose him. Loose him from the things that he used to be into what I've called him to be. We need to be loosed from our old situation so that we can walk in the newness of life. But some of us are still walking around with grave clothes. You came to the altar, God liberated you, but you still got on your old clothes when you need to put on the whole armor of God. Okay. Time to get rid of them grave clothes. You're still walking around and you still got remnants of where you used to be. Hallelujah. Understand that when you get saved, your spirit is regenerated, but your mind still remembers what you used to do. Your mind has to be renewed. Get rid of the old thinking. Those are part of the old grave clothes. And put on, hallelujah, don't you be transformed, hallelujah, by anything but by the word of God. Don't conform yourself to this world. The Bible says, and he that was dead came forth, said, loose, let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. One more verse. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. He gathered some people who would believe, and then some people just went to go tell the story to the Jews. Do you know from that event, the Jews had a council and decided that they wanted to kill Jesus? They wanted to kill Jesus based on an event that the Lord gave somebody life. Ain't that about nothing? Because they said the Romans are going to see and hear about everything he's doing. And they're not going to be happy about it. As I leave, understand that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Understand that no matter what you got going on in your life, God is able to do it. He can resurrect your marriage. He can resurrect any relationship that you are in. He can resurrect you from being a person who's always scared and walking in fear and walking in unbelief. And he can make you a powerhouse for God. Hallelujah. But you got to believe that he can do it. Great faith says, I believe God. Is there anybody in here? We got to go. So we can't have a traditional altar call. But if we did, we want the Lord to give you the faith that's needed to believe that he can do the impossible in your life. God bless you and God keep you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the 8 o'clock crew. We thank you, Father God, for those, Lord, online. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing too hard for you. So now, Lord, as we leave this place but not your presence, I pray, Father, that somebody, Lord, has a conversation with you, Lord, that you would bestow upon them the faith to believe, Lord, that you can yet and still change their situation that they think is dead, that you can resurrect to life, Father God, those things, oh Lord, according to your will and according to your way that need to live. I thank you, Father God, for your people. I thank you, Father God, for Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father, Abba, Father, our Father, that you don't sleep and you don't slumber, but you, Father, continuously make a way for us that we might be able to have life and have it more abundantly. I thank you, Father, and I praise you for this meeting. Through Christ's sake, we pray until we come again. Amen and thank God. God bless each and every one of you. Hallelujah. I did want to make one announcement, that's right. Our very dear sister Betty Mitchell has transitioned. She's gone on to glory. Those of you who know her and her daughter used to come faithfully to church every single week. She's going to be dearly, dearly missed. And so our condolences go out to the Mitchell family. As we get information about the homegoing service, we will definitely pass it on. But keep Alicia Mitchell and the Mitchell family lifted up. Those of you who know, they sat right there in the church. She would come faithfully. She's done so many mighty things for the church and her patronage of the church. And it saddens us. But in the condition she was in, I know that the Lord called her to be home. Amen. And for those of you who understand the message we just preached and the testimony I just gave, some people will pass and go to glory. Some people will pass and go somewhere else. Some people, God will raise up right now. We don't know who. And so what we do is we follow after the Spirit of God, because God's will shall be done. And so Sister Betty, the last thing I'll say, she was so full of life and she was such an independent woman, very independent. And so therefore, I don't believe that she was happy in the state that she was in. How many of you know that the same way when everything's well, you can ask a request of God to do this, that, or the other? If you get to the point where you're tired, you can ask the Lord to bring you home. And that's an okay request. I know it hurts those of us who remain behind, but if you really think about it, it's a little selfish of us when somebody's trying to graduate to go where God would have them to go. God will heal. The question becomes, do we all get healed on this side? No, some of us get healed on the other side. Amen. So keep the family in prayer. Amen. God bless you and God keep you.
Hello, and thank you again for listening. I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. We pray that something you heard makes a difference in your life. We invite you to join us again next week. And remember, let us not just be hearers of God's word, but doers of his word. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Stay blessed and don't stress.
To the enemies, not me or you, weapons are spiritual, they are not carnal.